I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Syrupcast, Mobile Syrup's Canadian tech-focused podcast. I'm Patrick O'Rourke, and Brad Bennett, a man who continues to refer to himself as the bad boy of tech, he's across the internet from me. How are you doing, Brad? Your room is yellow. It's Nikon colored.
Yep. Haven't painted it, but it's looking pretty good, pretty fresh. I'm feeling fresh as well. It's a Wednesday. I don't know. I've been feeling good today. I don't know if anyone saw my tweet, but I had Lucky Charms in my coffee, and I think I'm just like...
In your coffee?
Yeah.
It was too much sugar.
Yeah, it was a streamlined breakfast tweet attempt and followed it through. Now here I am.
I appreciate the commitment.
Thank you.
Our resident Pokemon expert, Dean Daly, is also joining us on the podcast today. How are you doing, Dean?
Good. I didn't realize that Nikon was yellow until you just pointed that out. For some reason, I thought Canon was a yellow.
What color is Canon?
Canon's red, dude. You have a Canon. Don't you?
Yes, I do.
What color is Sony?
Sony black. Is like this orangey gold color and black. Yeah, they have like an orange accent. And then Fuji's got that green and red. And then
Panasonic's blue.
Yeah, I don't really know Panasonic and Olympus what their colors are. But if you see Panasonic.
Olympus is white. I think Olympus is white. I have an Olympus camera. I just bought one.
No, Olympus is blue and yellow.
What?
That's what really? Google says.
Okay. Google. Anyways, this isn't a camera branding color podcast as much as I would like to just talk about that and American Pie for an hour. We have other things to talk about.
Let's dive into Pantone values.
This week we're going to talk about Pokemon Legends Arceus. I looked it up, how to pronounce it. It's 100% Arceus. It's not Arceus because I knew I was going to like think of that the first time I said it on the podcast. Dean's reviews live on the site now. By the time this podcast is up, you should be able to read it. But we're also going to talk about the game because it's a very new direction for the Pokemon franchise. And then we're also going to talk about the Galaxy S21 FE and why that phone even exists, especially with the fact in mind that like the S22 will likely be revealed in a couple weeks. But before we get to all that, Bennett, please hit us with the hottest news of the week.
Yeah, so there's not a whole lot going on this week. There's a bunch of like Tesla stuff, like they might be testing a new horn, and the Cybertruck got turned off, and it's got like regular truck plastic mirrors, but that's kind of lame. And
any huge back wiper to it, or is it a front wiper? It's a back wiper.
A front wiper. But in more fun news, YouTube Shorts gets over 5 trillion views in 2 years. So it's proving that it's like a more legitimate platform, which to me, as someone who started doing more YouTube stuff, was kind of interesting.
You're doing shorts on our channel?
Yep. Started doing shorts on our channel, potentially to like expand that to more like vertical platforms like Snapchat and TikTok and stuff. But we're testing it out on shorts. And so far, it's kind of fun. But it's tough to get the audience used to it, I think, because they're so different and they show up like on regular YouTube. It's a weird thing. But it seems like it's a form of content that's here to stay. And actually, the more that I do it, it's kind of nice to have those like videos to be like, here's the thing I don't want to make a whole video about, but like 1 minute, there you go. I can just like say it or show it off or whatever. And it's more casual. But more in the like Canadian space, Bell, Let's Talk, and Brain Canada donate $4 million to mental health projects, which is kind of, you know, classic Canadian news. But I'm just kind of like wondering in today's sort of atmosphere, how do you guys feel about things like Bell, Let's Talk, and these like corporate charity things that sort of like rely on the public to generate the money. It always seems weird to me. Like, why doesn't Bell just give the money? Why do we have to like be involved? I hate it.
I feel like it has a lot of like negative, like people are always like, where does the money even go? And blah, blah, blah. And yeah, what you're just saying, but I still feel like there's some positivity to the fact that it just gets those people talking about mental health.
That's true. Actually, you're right. Yeah. It spurs a lot of conversation.
It has like a lot of like normalization in it. You're normalizing mental health with it. I mean, I wish they would just give the money to organizations already, but that's not the situation.
You're actually right. I didn't think about that conversation thing, but from literally my entire life, from like high school to now, like every time like Ballot's Day happens, like there's always lots of stuff I see like on social media, and like people like are always talking. And you're right. That's actually probably really important in like mental health, getting those day or 2 days. Pretty
good. The big thing with it is like Bell is not generally speaking like a great company with a great track record for even treating its own employees well. There's been all kinds of reports that have come out against like aggressive sales targets for people that work in Bell on the sales of things, like stuff related to their benefits and like mental health.
The door-to-door marketing stuff a few years ago too.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. So there's like that side of it, but I do think that it like at least brings that conversation to the forefront in a very public way. There's also controversy about like how much money Bell actually donates from the campaign. There's all kinds of stuff. I think we've covered it quite a bit in the past, and we even had like a very brief news post about it yesterday. But I mean, I guess it's better than nothing. But the thing that I always remember is like companies aren't people, and Bell doesn't do this like out of the goodness of its own heart, right? It does it so that you like, when you think of Bell, you think of the company in a more positive light. It's like when Apple introduces a new feature, like what's the stuff that like lets you limit how long you can use certain apps in iOS?
DRM?
I can't remember the name. No. Like limiting like how long you can be on social media or whatever.
Screen time.
Stuff like that. Like Apple's not doing that because it like wants to be your friend, right? It like it's doing it so that it gets more positive coverage that shines a light on that aspect of the new feature that it's adding and paints the broader company in a more glowing way. That's what this is always about. Like whenever a big company donates something or does a campaign or adds a feature that doesn't necessarily make the money but makes users happy, there's always like another side to it.
Yeah, actually,
Apple,
this
doesn't want to be our friend.
No, no. Apple just wants your money.
Definitely not. This one's not as bad, but the thing that I've been seeing a lot is like at cash registers, it's like those like new little like tap stands. I don't know if you've seen them, where it's like, hey, like donate. Like I think Tim Hortons has them. It's like donate to Camp Day, and it's like a NFC tap thing where you can just like tap to donate a dollar, and it's just like, instead of like putting the dollar in the box, I have these like tap things.
You just
now.
Donate, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll, like that also had me kind of being like, oh, like, you know, it's why am I donating? Cause I'm like me, you know, one person, you're Tim Hortons with billions of dollars. Seems crazy. Anyway,
the world is awful.
Yeah. Moving on to more tech news. This one is not something we can super talk about now, but we just have a guide sort of leading up to Canada's decision on Huawei gear and the whole like 5G infrastructure thing. I mean, that's been sort of ongoing for, well, like 4 years, pretty much the entire time I've been at Mobile Syrup. So it seems like that might be coming to a close, and NHTSA has gotten an explainer of sort of like what's happened, where we are, and what might happen with the Huawei 5G decision up on the site.
I think we're expecting a decision in the next couple of weeks, but it's been delayed so many times, and there's so many questions that still need to be answered. Like, will the carriers be reimbursed for money that they've invested in Huawei equipment? Right. That's like one of the big things. There's all kinds of stuff, but NHTSA's explainer is really good. It's just like a very brief to the point recap of everything that's happened thus far, because we're expecting a decision at some point soon. Part of me thinks that's not going to happen, but it might.
Yeah. Honestly, it might not happen too. Or it might happen, and then nothing just might happen because of it. Like what happened with the thing we were talking about the other day, where everybody was getting really mad at Mobile Syrup because the shake and stirred controversy, where it's like they had implemented the shake and stir rules, the mandate for the shake and stir rules had passed, but no carriers were actually implementing shake and stir rules, and we were like getting into that. So that's something that could happen again. Who knows?
I got
but
six last... spam calls yesterday. So
six
that stuff Jeez. Doesn't actually work. Legitimately six, no exaggeration. I realize
Alex
I exaggerate
had one.
A lot.
Yeah.
I got one in the morning, one in the afternoon, another one in the afternoon, and then three in the evening. And I even Jeez. Started calling one of them back, and the person kept answering. just for fun, I was bored.
And
just
then,
to let you know, buddy, that's been me this whole time.
Dean's just like every time Pat he sees like Pat typing in Slack, he's like, oh, it might be coming for me to distract him with a phone call.
100%.
But yeah, the last bit of news actually comes from Dean wrote this one. Well, it comes from Samsung, but you wrote it, but it's Samsung Impact event set for February 9th. Which we're assuming will be the Galaxy S22 series reveal. Potentially the new Note replacement might be a Galaxy S, might be something completely different.
Yeah, like for sure it'll be the S22. Like they say it in the invite, like it has like the S. And then if you watch the full animation, it turns into 22 and you're like, okay, well, I guess it's S22. What I guess is kind of like a rumor is whether or not we'll have the Tab S8 series as well.
Oh, the Tab, okay. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, oh some, yeah, that some tab.
Tablets that you love, Bennett. Yeah. But yeah, excited for that. Maybe, kind
of. Yeah, I guess we'll talk about it when we get to the S21 FE section. But yeah, we'll talk about it then. I won't get into it now. But I'm less excited for the S22 series, I think, than I have been for any Samsung phone in ever. I think. Based on rumors and the leaks and stuff we've seen.
I haven't been following it, so maybe the leaks have, like, this isn't happening anymore. But so correct me, just cut me off if I'm, like, super wrong. But is this the one where we might, like, I'm pretty sure this is the one where we might be getting the pen back in the phone, right? Like, the S22 Ultra might be, like, a Note. But, like, if the pen's back in the phone, I think that's the only thing that excites me, because it then gives us, like, a plot. Like, Samsung killed the Note and brought it back in the Ultra. No. And what it means for the future phones. And we can, like, you could structure a review around, like, that arc. Which
do
could
you
be
want
really
to
fun.
Review it?
If you it happens, if the pen goes back, I could do it. If the pen doesn't go back, it's just like another, just a phone with top of the line specs, then I don't want it. But I think the pen could be interesting.
I'll talk about my thoughts on the S Pen as someone who's reviewed a lot of Note phones over the years. When we get to the S21 FE section of the pod, I have some thoughts.
For sure. As personal users, thoughts. I don't think any of us are into it, but I just think from, like, there are Samsung people that like it, and totally in terms of just keeping things interesting, there's not a lot else going on from Samsung phones if they don't fold or flip, you know? I don't really care unless you fold or flip or you pen in there.
Amen, brother.
Amen. should we catch them all now?
Yeah, let's go. Let's catch all the Pokemon. So, again, like, this is very broadly the Dean Daily Show today. He's our resident Pokemaniac. He's the Pokemon man. One time I reviewed a Pokemon game at the site, and I think Dean was going to kill me in my sleep. What was that? Let's Go?
It was Let's Go. Yeah, and it was just because of your lack of knowledge in between Let's Go and Pokemon Red. So there was just a lot of gaps in there.
It was my last kick at the Pokemon. Is it Pokemon or Pokemon? I used to call it Pokemon, and now I call it Pokemon, so I don't know.
I think I was with Bennett when I was, like, Bennett and I were like, or at least I was just like, why does he get to review it? And then we went to
might have been when we used to, like, have to walk to the train station all the time, yeah.
Yeah.
I did
you
write
know
a good
Pokemon
review.
Let's Go with event with it? Me? Or was that Brad? Other Brad?
No, I don't think I went to the event. I just reviewed the game.
I don't think so. I know. I think you might have went, Pat. I didn't go.
I don't think I did.
It must have been other Brad, because I think it was also the Smash Bros. Event.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I wanted to review it because it was like, that was like my game when I was a kid was Pokemon Red and Blue. But you're not wrong. Like, I don't have much knowledge about the series between, like, I played that one. I played Silver. I never really got into Sapphire and Ruby. That's the Game Boy Advance ones.
Yeah, with Lugia.
Yeah.
No. Oh-ho?
And then
the ones after that.
And then I played Black and White, and that was it until Sword and Shield for the most part. Like, I just lost touch with the series. It wasn't for me. But bringing it back to what we're actually talking about, Pokemon Legends Arceus has me, like, I'm really thinking about buying it, even after reading your review and watching some of the leaked footage of the game, because it's all over the place. Like, people already have it, which is kind of crazy that Nintendo still persisted with that embargo. But it looks like a very different type of Pokemon game. Like, it's not what we've seen before. Dean is offline. That is not good.
Pokemon's age-old question. Should we answer it today? I don't know. Are we offline or is Dean offline? Who?
It's just Dean.
Who left? Okay. I'll take you guys down a little Pokemon journey. You may have noticed earlier that I made a mistake and I called it the wrong name, but I know some games. I played them, a lot of them. Diamond and Pearl. Played that one a lot.
Diamond and Pearl is on the DS, right?
Yeah, that's the first DS one. That was when I think I was in, like, grade 6 or 7, and I had a Nintendo Power subscription, and, like, it was like the cover story, and I just started, like, getting into, like, actually discovering games, you know, when you're like young, people sort of like hand you games, like, oh, game, I'll play that. Or you have like a friend who has like Mario Kart, and you're like, oh, I always go to Neil's house and play that like Mario Kart game. I think I want that one. But as I'm starting to become like more of an individual, I guess, as like growing up, I'm like reading more, and like Pokemon was one of those like first games where I was like reading about it a lot and like really wanted to play it because like I had become wrapped up in the hype cycle and was like buying the game guides before they came out and stuff. I was really excited.
The one thing that I miss from the series, and I guess we can talk about this later because we actually have to talk about this new game, but was the timed events from Gold and Silver, like where things would happen at certain types of times of the day, and there was like a day and night cycle, or like you could only catch certain Pokemon on specific days of the week. Has that ever come back to the series?
Specific days of the week, I think so. I can't remember offhand. I probably spent the most time in Silver and Gold, so that really stayed like. That really stayed with me, that you can only catch Lapras at night or around 8 p.m. on Mondays. I remember just being why? Like, why? Why is that the only time you can catch a Lapras?
It's so cool.
I don't think anything...
I guess that still isn't in effect in Pokemon Go, if you count that.
Yeah. I know there's definitely like day-night cycles. Some games have like season cycles. But... specific timing, maybe. I there's literally one Pokemon that I've been like searching for in this game and I can't seem to find it, and maybe it is tied to a specific time of the day and that's why I can't find it.
I think being tied to times of days is something that happens for some Pokemon,
but I mean like specifically like at like noon or something, like it's like a sunny Pokemon, and maybe like you could, this game kind of has its own night, like you can like rest until day, or like until it's day again, or you can rest till it's night or whatever, like kind of like in another like other RPGs. So it kind of runs on its own day and night cycle, but so I don't think there's anything like that that would be actually tied to, but yeah, it's possible.
Before we taking things like a step back, before we get too far into it, like, what is Pokemon Legends Arceus? Why are people like myself, who maybe like don't really pay attention to Pokemon, more interested in this game? Like, set the stage for listeners, I guess.
All right, so it's a game. It's a new Pokemon game for your Switch. That is in a 3D world, and I guess the best way to explain it, it kind of looks like an open world RPG. That's not what it is, but that's what it looks like. Yeah, it's not, but it looks like one. I think the best example would be a game like Monster Hunter, where you have to, like you can't traverse the whole everywhere you want when you want. It's not as easy, but it's open. There's a lot of openness to it.
Like yeah, big open sections.
Think
go
of
between.
The wild area if you've played Sword and Shield, just in a lot of, but like bigger and. Looks better and is more, and like kind of the whole game, that's like the whole game instead of just being little parts. To explain why it's not like a fully open world game, it's just that you can't really, like, you don't have the ability to like travel everywhere you want. Like, I can't fly from one region, one end of the region to the other. I have to go back to your original base. It's called Jubilife Village. You go back there, and then you speak to the guard, the front gate guy, and he'll let you go to another part of the region. But you can't just walk wherever you want. They're all there.
So the village acts exactly, as like the hub world, right?
Not from like, you could fast travel back to the village, and that hub world is, and like those, each of those sections are so big that they are like checkpoints or not. Like, they have like little. Like, yeah, I would say checkpoints throughout the village, so you can fast travel to each of those separately, but you can't go back. You can't go to another region. Like, I can't go from the swampy area of Hisui, the name of the region, to the mountainous area. You have to go to.
So what's the actual like structure of the game, right? Because it's not the same as a traditional Pokemon game where like you're out there trying to become the master of all the Pokemon and get all the gym badges and all that stuff. Like, the traditional structure we've seen for decades at this point.
It's completely different.
You don't do battles to catch you Pokemon can. This time, right?
So how it works is, first, there's no more gyms, no more Elite Four. You are a person who is, I don't know how much I can spoil. This is gonna be like after the
This will go up on Friday, so it'll be like release day for the game, I believe.
So this is a slight little spoiler. I hope I'm okay to share this.
Don't name individual Pokemon. I know that.
I know they're embargo. Well, I know, but this is like, this isn't part of the embargo, right? Because technically,
it's. He doesn't want to ruin the story, is what he's talking about.
So people will be able to play. No, I mean, it will be released when this comes out.
No, Friday when the podcast comes out.
So, like.
Okay.
I think this should be fine to share then. But so in like theory, you are sent to this world. You are from a Pokemon world where you know everything about Pokemon. You're a Pokemon trainer in this world. And then you are now sent to another world where people don't know anything about Pokemon. And you are just kind to like, and they were like, whoa, how do you know how to catch Pokemon? And you're like, ha ha ha. Well, I'm kind of good at it. So then they were like, they try to bring you into this world. You learn more about, you learn more what's going on in this world. It's kind of there. It's set in the past, like in a past region. Like, there's no, there is.
Wait, so is like the main character, like time traveling to this world, or they're like sort of like.
So he's either time traveling or world hopping. Unsure. I haven't,
okay, but it's not like they like came over on like a boat in like a Samuel Champlain way, and they've like
It's more like
he discovered a new Pokemon region.
Yeah, it's more like the god of Pokemon was like, hey, I want you to, I'm just dropping you off here and catch all the Pokemon you can catch. That's all he says. He drops you off on this new world. You fall out of the sky. The characters are always like, whoa, this the character. Everyone knows that this is a person who falls out of the sky. So there's no gyms yet. They're Pokemon trainers are not even called trainers. They're called Pokemon wielders because they're like rare. Yeah, they're rare because people are afraid of Pokemon because they're wild animals. Okay. So only like, I think there's only like maybe 10 or 15 trainers in the whole game. Or wielders. And
so wait, so that means no trainer battles.
So there are trainer battles. You just fight with them multiple times, and as you get stronger, they're like, okay, now we feel more comfortable catching more Pokemon and stuff. So they get stronger too. Yes.
So what you're telling me is it sounds like a utopia where people haven't like repurposed Pokemon yet for like human gain. Yeah. Where like they're making Clefairies like break rocks in line, and Geodudes like serve people tea and stuff like that.
But our character is coming in and changing
that. Our character, we're 100%.
Regime. Oh, no.
Are you like a Pokemon colonizer in this? Like, that's what it sounds like.
I honestly, that might be the best way to explain it. Because, like I said, there's no gyms in this game. So what you do is there are missions. And you have to fulfill the missions and because of whatever this world-breaking thing is that sends you into this new region, whatever that is doing, it's also causing like noble Pokemon, which are looked at like a highly respected Pokemon amongst the clans, are acting crazy. So your mission is to calm these freaked out Pokemon that are huge and looked at as like kind of like gods, and that is now your new mission. But in between that, there are also requests that you can get from side characters. Like, so random NPCs in the town will be like, hey, like, can you do this for me? Hey, I want to know more about this Pokemon. Can you find it for me? Or can you give me one or learn more about it? And you'll have to do those too. So I guess in theory, like, I have just given out Pokemon to these random NPCs who need it for their jobs. So like one person's like, oh, I want to know more about like making clothing. Do you have a Pokemon that can give me silk or whatever? So now I guess I am colonizing that Pokemon and making it now, enslaving it to this woman so that she can make clothing.
Rumples?
so there's a bit of that.
What's like drawing you into it? What's like, what are you finding like is the most fun? Or what's like
for me? There's new evolutionary methods. Like, I couldn't say any of this in my embargo, which is I guess, fun to get to talk about now. But there's new evolutionary methods. So there are Pokemon that I just don't know how to evolve. I know they do evolve, and I have no clue how to do it. And I'm just the guy who...
Probably have to find items or whatever?
Yeah. Or something. I don't know. I'm the guy who usually types... I usually knows like how to evolve every single Pokemon, how to do whatever. I've studied it on the website Serbii. But and now I'm just like left in the dark being like, man, I have this Voltorb. I don't know how to evolve it. It usually evolves by a level. I've tried giving it stones. It doesn't care about stones. I don't... Do I like... yesterday, I had like my Switch turned upside down. Because he like yeah, there is a Pokemon that turns upside down. Yeah, yeah. So I was like, maybe that's... Maybe do that with this because Voltorb turns into Electrode. Because the Voltorb
does when... Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't it just like turns
the red and white
down,
side. So that, yeah, it's smart.
Yeah, so... Honestly, but it didn't work. But I have no clue how to evolve this Pokemon. Or there's a few other Pokemon that I have no clue how to evolve. And it's just been like, this is, it's fun, but a little annoying. Also, I can't beat the last trainer of this game. Or I think he's the last trainer, but I've beat the
whole... So is it harder? Like,
that's actually good to know that there's some like,
it is, challenge. It, usually it is more challenging, I think. So this game, because you're so encouraged to catch new Pokemon and so encouraged to like fill these requests or do this mission, or and your goal is to catch every Pokemon. Like, I mean, your goal is always to catch every Pokemon, but I feel like that's more of a main goal now. I didn't have one team throughout the whole game. I just kept switching them out because I was like, okay, I gotta catch this Pokemon. Okay, now I have to evolve this Pokemon, blah, blah, blah. So there was a lot of that. So now that I don't have a proper team and I'm facing this final boss, who has 8 Pokemon in, basically.
Oh, it's just been man, like, I hate when they do that stuff. They did that in, like, Sun and Moon, too, where you would, like, get in those battles, and it's like, Pokemon, call them reinforcements. You're like, how many guys am I fighting here? I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, well, it's not like that. Well, this one, he has a full team of 6, and you're like, cool, I beat the whole team of 6. And then then he's like, well, ha-ha-ha, I have this other Pokemon coming to help me now. And you're like, okay. Well, I beat the other Pokemon, and he's like, "Aha! Now that other Pokemon is changing forms, and now you have to beat him all over again." And you're just like, "Dude, I only have 6 Pokemon.
Can I make up some rules? Like, what?"
Yeah, my six v six team already lost to you, or already like barely won. I managed to beat your 7th Pokemon, and now it's coming back with a stronger form. Like, it's like it feels like a full like anime like experience where like the bad guy just keeps having more and more. And because I didn't raise one team throughout the whole game, because my goal has been catching Pokemon and learning about different ones and whatever, I'm just, like, unprepared for this last battle. It is post-game. Like, I've already seen the title screen. I've already done, like, that's, like, the main... I've already done all the main game stuff. And now I think this is the last game of the post-game. Last battle of the game.
I got 2 questions for you. One, does it really look awful, like, visually?
It looks like Pokemon.
So, what do you mean?
Yes, I don't know what that means. The last one didn't look great.
So it looks like if you were to compare it against any other AAA game, you're gonna be like,
whoa. On the Switch though. In the context of the Switch is what I'm asking, right? Because like I know most Switch games,
but you gotta remember that the Switch played Breath of the Wild 5 years ago,
and The Witcher 3.
It looked a lot better than this, right? Like
the best. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the best looking Switch game that I have ever seen, and I added this to your review when I was editing it last night, is Luigi's Mansion 3. Like,
oh,
that is
Luigi's Mansion 3 looks so good.
By far,
I
the
forgot
best
all about that game.
Really detailed.
I've ever seen. Like, it looks. It's amazing that that's on the Switch.
Yeah, I didn't highlight the visual like effects, I think, enough in my review because I was like, it's a Switch game. But yeah, it is really great. Yeah, it was like the only... Or no, I did Animal Crossing 2, but like one of the only games I've ever done. Yeah. Oh no, did we lose Dean again?
We lost Dean.
I'll talk about him. Visual quality. Oh, you go. What are you taking away from like Dean's walk? Do you think this is pushing you further towards buying it or further away?
I don't know. I wish I could like play a demo. Like, that's what I really wish. I wish I could download it, play a demo,
Nintendo,
give it a shot. Because
they
the
were
idea
doing more
of,
demos
like,
before.
Yeah, I don't think there is one for this, though. The idea of, like, entering, like, an open Pokemon world and having, like, a mission where it's, like, go catch, like, 5 Pikachus or something like that. Like, that interests me because that seems like something I could do relatively passively, like, watching TV, having it open, trying to accomplish that goal, like, that sort of thing. That sounds fun to me, because that's what I did with Monster Hunter. So like Monster Hunter and Pokemon combined, that appeals to me. But then like the missions, when I was watching people play it leaked last weekend on YouTube, I think there's a lot of people who just like downloaded a ROM and were playing it on an emulator and then live streamed it. Heroes, for sure. That like kind of, it looked very repetitive. Like the mission structure seemed very repetitive. It was like fetch quest after fetch quest after fetch quest. Is that accurate, Dean? Like, what do the missions look like?
Yeah, I have like 96 fetch quests available to me right now, I think. I mean, I've done quite a few of them, but there are a lot of like just catch this Pokemon and bring it back, or find this crafting material and bring it back. Because there's a lot of crafting in this game. Like, crafting is really important. There's a lot of that. But those are all side things. You don't have to do that. In terms of main mission stuff, I feel like it's a lot less repetitive. I mean, it feels as repetitive as going to a gym and try to fight the gym. And yeah, it's fine. I wasn't bothered by the main mission stuff.
Did you find it entertaining or interesting? At least like the plot.
Yeah, I was really entertained. They have like, you fight these, like I mentioned before, noble Pokemon, and you fight those noble Pokemon. And like those feel like
a kind Sir of like Electrode,
pretty big bat, like yeah, exactly, like a huge Electrode or a huge Scyther's new evolution is called Cleaver. So a new Cleaver, and you have to kind of like your character as like a person is dodging these Pokemon, this huge Pokemon, as it's attacking you as a person, not your Pokemon. Wait. You're not in a battle yet. Because your Pokemon are too weak to have this battle, apparently. So it's you versus this Pokemon, okay, this like huge that. Pokemon. And you're throwing these kind of like bombs, or like you're throwing its favorite food at it. And you just keep throwing at it and hoping to calm it down a little bit so they can like eat. But they have a huge attack, because they're using like real Pokemon attacks. One of them was a...
So when you're saying like real Pokemon attacks...
Noble Pokemon, and it used like...
Like, is this like a Ni No Kuni type situation where you're like actively running around? It's actively running around. You're in the open world and it's like blasting attacks at you.
Sick. For sure. Yep.
Super
yep.
cool.
And like for instance, like one of them I remember was like a dragon type. Oh, yeah. So it's using Draco Meteor at
flying
you.
Flying around like Skyrim.
Meteors falling out of the sky, and you're like,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're like dodging this, all this stuff, and you're like, what to do? And you keep throwing these bombs. And eventually you'll see it has each health, like the health bar has like little checkpoints. And once you get to a certain checkpoint, it's tired out. So then you can throw your Pokemon at it, and then you do a little battle. And then you defeat it, but then it still has its actual life bar. And then you do that process over again. But it uses different moves that are stronger or harder to evade. And it feels like a boss battle like that I would fight in like a Sonic game.
Are you going to buy this, Bennett? Like, you are, I don't know, I don't want to say former Pokemon man person.
Just like a former gamer.
Former gamer. Are you interested in it as someone who, like, only really dabbles in video games these days?
Yeah, I kind of am, for, like, two reasons. A, because, like, yeah, I have, like, I really do like Pokemon, and I have, like, played almost all of the games. Pretty much, I've played everything since Diamond and Pearl, and I've tried to go back and play some of the older ones, but I've only really done, like, Fire Red. But anyway, I'm like, I'm excited about it, and I like how they're taking something different. Will I buy it now? Probably not. Not that I'm waiting for a sale, because it'll probably never go on sale. But I find like I find that in the summertime, I often get like these like video game itches. I just get like this like nostalgic feelings where I get like, you know, the summertime air reminds me of like going to visit my like grandma and like late nights playing GameCube and stuff. So often in the summertime, I get like these like nostalgic urges to play like Pokemon and Animal Crossing and like Nintendo games just in general from my childhood. So I could see myself like picking this up for like my summertime game, because I think I'm more excited to play this on Switch than anything else that's been announced in between now and then, unless like Breath of the Wild 2 comes out. But yeah, that's where I stand.
Yeah, I feel like it's worth it. Like, I feel like just even its little changes, like when you're in a Pokemon battle, your character, you can move your character so you can kind of see the Pokemon battle better. Like, usually you're sitting behind your Pokemon. Well, now I'm like, okay, well, I want to go look at the side to get a better viewpoint. and it can move that. And I'm like,
but does that mean you lose like the action camera where, like, in Pokemon Battles before, there used to be like a camera that kind of looks like a sports camera where it'd be like cutting through all the different angles.
Goes around them. It's like a GoPro. NFL.
Yeah. Like, does that, is that gone then? Because I really liked that. I thought that was like really fun.
You lose that, but that wasn't in a lot of games.
It was in some of the newer ones, though. Like the last
Sword
three,
Shield
I think.
And stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that, it started in Sun and Moon.
Yeah. Well, definitely Sword and Shield had it. But yeah, you do lose that. But I'm like, this is cool enough just walking around. If you're too close to your Pokemon and it gets a huge attack, you get hurt too, which I think is kind of interesting. To catch Pokemon, you'll see a random Pokemon, and you can just kind of throw your Pokeball at it. And if it's some Pokemon will get caught and be scared or whatever, will get caught. Other Pokemon will run away from you, and you can just keep throwing Pokeballs at it as it's running away. But most Pokemon will be angry at you and will try to attack you. And if that happens, then you have to switch from in your quick settings or quick toggle, switch from items to Pokemon, which I'm like, it's kind of cool. Like that's like an option, and you have to switch it, and then you have to throw your Pokeball with your Pokemon beside it, and then it will start a battle.
I think I'm going to get it.
Cool.
I think you convinced me. I think I'd enjoy it. I may not get it right away. I think I may be a little bit like Bennett and take that approach where when I have some time on my hands, I might pick it up. Like, my plan was I'm off on Friday, so I was thinking I was going to get it in the morning, just play it all day, have it be like a chill game to play on Friday. But I don't know. I've gotten into some other games recently that I'll talk about later on the podcast. So I'm not sure if now is the right time for me to dive into a brand new game, but we'll see. Let's hit a quick ad break before we move on to the Galaxy S21 FE.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So I used to do a lot of our Samsung coverage at the site. I still do. I have reviewed at least the Ultra for the last couple of years, the S20 whatever Ultra. And I used to do our Note reviews as well. Note's dead. It's gone. Not a thing anymore. Kind of happy about that because I never really understood the Note line. Dean, you're reviewing the Samsung Galaxy S21 FE. This is a relatively new thing for Samsung. Last couple of years that these phones, at the very least, have come to Canada. This year in particular, there's like a few things that make no sense to me. One, it's coming out super late in the S21 life cycle. Like the S22 is just around the corner. We pretty much know that for sure now that we have the February 9th, right? February 9th for the Galaxy Impact.
Yep.
So
10 a.m. Eastern.
I guess just to kick things off, why is this phone coming so late? And why does it exist? I know those are pretty broad questions, but I think that's the first thing that pops into my mind when I think of the S21 FE.
So the S21 FE came to Canada, or was officially unveiled on January 3rd. So it's been out for less than a month, 23 days.
3 days, yeah.
Or I guess when this comes out, 26 days. So it's kind of... It's been out for a little bit, at least. There's at least a month between it and the S22.
A whole month,
yeah. I think it was supposed to come out, rumor has it that it was supposed to come out initially in August. That is when the S20 FE came out the year previous.
Okay.
In 2020, the S20 FE came out in August.
Which gives it more of a runway, in a sense.
Exactly, it gives it a lot more runway.
But put it directly in comparison with iPhones and Pixels that come out the next month as well.
Yes.
I guess, but also it's going after a bit of a different audience in a sense too, right?
Not to the Pixel 6, it's the same price. I think the Pixel 6 is cheaper, is it not?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the Pixel 6, yeah, you're right, because that's sort of Google's entry level take.
Yeah, I think it's like Pixel 6 is like what, $800? I think FE is like 900, something like that.
But like, Dean, why does this phone exist? Like, why is Samsung, like, they're already releasing three phones. There's like the standard S21, the S21 Plus, and the Ultra, and they each in a way are going after a different audience. That's part of why Mobile Syrup does three reviews of the phones now, whereas we used to do one combined review. There's enough differences between them that they're targeting like a different type of consumer. Why do we have like yet another option thrown into the mix? Like, if I walked into a Rogers store right now and I didn't work here, didn't know anything about phones, and this phone was here and all the other phones were there, I would have like no idea what one to buy. It would confuse me even more than I already would be to begin with.
I think the fan edition phones are very much like, they're called FE because they're fan editions. I think they were supposed to be what everyone wants. They're like the Pendleton, like everyone wants specific specs. These are the specs everyone like would want the most. They're like kind of the features people want the most, and an affordable pricing. So the S21 started out at more. I can't remember. I had it up before I closed everything.
Can I take a shot at explaining this? I have a theory.
Yeah, cool.
So my theory is that the S21 FE, because it came out after the S21 series, lasted longer in the market once the S20 FE lasted longer in the market after the S21 series had come out. I imagine that now Samsung is like, oh, we don't position this as our like summer phone. We position this as a separate phone that releases before our new flagships, but we can then use all the parts from, you know, that we've already been incorporated from the S21 flagships, you know, like a lot of the cameras are similar.
Like the SE with Apple.
Yeah, all the internals are similar. So like they can still sell those parts and that market and just like use this phone instead of having to produce three would be like my kind of guess. Like, you know what I mean? The fact that they've now released this a month before the S22 flagships kind of seems to me that it's just like they put it out just to have something to still sell like S21 devices a little cheaper once the S22 hits the market. Maybe they'll still sell them all and I'll be wrong, but it kind of seems that way. It's a weird release.
I honestly just think it was just delayed. I just think this was delayed because of parts. Like there's a lot of parts issue last year.
Chip shortage.
Everyone knows that like the FE edition is not like the most important phone. They wanted to get the flip phone and the fold phones. They use the same Snapdragon 888 processor. They were like, well, we want to make more of those. They cost more and people will be more interested in it. So they still, the resources went there instead of going to the S21 FE.
Do you think they sell more flips than FEs? Because I think if I went into the Samsung store and they were like, this is the top of line Samsung one, this is the flip, it's a little more. And this one's actually $100 less and has almost all the same things. I think that like would push people towards buying the FE a lot more, you know, than the flip.
I think, but the flip
like just
the
in terms
FE
of
like,
bulk sales numbers.
I think the F, like specifically the flip is like $1,200.
Yeah.
And the FE is $1,000. I think people are more willing to pay and they have the same, they're literally the same phone, like not literally the, but for the most part, everything else, all the
specs,
same specs,
spec
I
for
think.
Spec.
Are almost the exact same. I think more people are heading for the flip because of its flipping ability.
It might depend on the carrier deal that's available at the time too.
Yeah, and I've actually been seeing a lot of flips in the wild. Not, I mean, I'm not in the wild often anymore because of COVID, but when I am, I've seen them quite a bit. I still think they're going to put the resources towards the flip over the FE.
You're right, and they rightly should, I think, too. I mean, the flip is where I think the future of Samsung phones should go, probably.
FE is, I put this in my review, what you love most and built the ultimate fan-inspired phone so you can experience every day to the absolute fullest. It's really just a phone they make because fans want it, and honestly, I don't think they should have released the S21 FE.
I'm not sold on the whole, like, fans...
What's the, so like taking
fans
it back,
don't want it.
What's the difference? Like, what is the difference between the S21 FE and like the S21 or the S21 Plus? Like, I know it's well under the Ultra in some respects, but like those two lower end phones, what are
like literally
build specs? Like, what's the difference?
Like, literally, they have the same display, same 120 hertz, like,
variable refresh
whatever.
Rate.
It's not variable, refresh is it?
It's not variable.
It?
No.
Oh, okay.
It has like a same processor, less RAM, same camera. Actually, no, the cameras are not as good. It's telephoto cameras is less than it's not as
like
good
the
as
Zoom?
The Zoom camera is not as good, but the main camera is the exact same. I even think it has the same battery. Like it's same oh battery. No, its battery is less, but it's not. It's I don't know why they released this phone. What they should do is just lower the price of the S21 Plus, and then that should be it.
What about the build? Like, is it the same build? Does it have a plastic back? Like,
its back is plasticky. It's matte. It's like it's matte plasticky. It feels good actually. The build feels better than that, or it feels more solid than the S21 Plus did. And it's like I feel like I'm not going to break it as easily.
I don't know if your review will be up by the time this podcast goes up. There's a possibility it'll be up the following week likely, but like do you want to summarize your thoughts on it just to close it out? Like,
sure.
Is it a positive? Like, I haven't edited it yet. Is it a positive take on the phone? Like, my guess is it's not, but
my last sentence or paragraph said Samsung's Galaxy S21 FE is a good smartphone offering some flagship specs and a stylish design, but also sports a lackluster screen and a repeated camera setup because they did no difference between the camera setup between the S21 FE and the S20 FE. The cameras are the exact same. Unfortunately, this phone costs $949, which is a bit much when you're comparing it to the Pixel 6 and iPhone 13.
Like, if this thing was like $700, to me, it's like a much easier sell. Canadian carriers would love that. They'd put it on like some crazy two-year deal.
Even if it was the Pixel 6 is $799. If it was the exact same $799, it would make sense.
So much.
$949 is a little bit much for this mid flagship hybrid. Like, its processor is hybrid, but its display is mid and its camera is mid and like
smokes mids, brutal.
Yeah, 6 gigs of RAM.
I was just gonna say, I can't remember when the joke derailed me, but what I was gonna say is like it's called the fan edition, but to me it doesn't seem like it's for the fans. Like, if you're a fan of Samsung, you get a Flip, a Fold, or an Ultra, right? Like, those are what the real fans are getting.
If it was a fan edition phone, it would have a cards slot, an SD card slot. That's all Samsung fans keep saying is
you hit it. What happened? Cut this podcast. Dina's nailed
it's
it.
It's over.
We're done.
It's done.
Yeah, you're right. Is they don't even, that's what the Samsung fans want. They want the SD card slot.
And they want like
the
40 gigs
back
of RAM.
Put the pen in. Yeah. 40 gigs of RAM. Like multiple Bluetooth streams so you can connect it to your computer and a Bluetooth keyboard and a mouse and just work all day on it because it's the ultimate machine. That's better than
through DeX. DeX.
Yeah. Does it even have DeX? Does the S21 FE have DeX? If it doesn't have DeX and an SD
last
card
year's
slot,
phones had DeX.
That is
don't
not
they all
a fan
have DeX?
Phone.
Isn't that
I don't know.
Thing now?
I assume
I don't know
so,
either.
But
I don't use it.
Samsung's got these like the Switch. Samsung like features like that just disappear and no one talks about them. Like, well, Bixby is still around, but like, I'm pretty sure that the S21 series still supported DeX. But it's funny, like DeX was the marquee feature a couple years ago, and then like we forget it exists.
It's well, now they go on stage charging. And they're like, we work with Microsoft to do Samsung and computer.
We
don't
optimize
DeX
their apps.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
So everyone was complaining about the Pixel 6's wireless charger and that it's slow. I think it's only 20 watts. But I think every Samsung has only 15 watt wireless charger. It's not even good. I think people
wireless
want. I think,
sucks in general.
I think if fan, I think a fan edition phone would have like that card slot. Faster charging, maybe a big battery, more RAM. But this is just a phone they had. This is just the extra pieces they didn't want to waste. And here it is again. And also, you can't even, from Samsung, you can't buy an S21 or S21 Plus. The only options are S21 Ultra and S21 FE. Like, they kind of...
That's sort of what I was saying. Like, manufacturing them anymore. Yeah, like, it's usurped that manufacturing line as a way to, like, keep those parts moving forward. Like, they can sell Snapdragon 888 chips for the entire length of the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 market now. Just, like, kind of below them. That's what it's called, right? 8 Gen 1 is the new one?
8.1,
okay.
I've never said it out loud, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, so it's an awkward name.
Yeah.
Couldn't okay, like so
999? I guess maybe not. That sounds weird to say out loud.
890. 890 would have been fine. 898.
That's fine, yeah.
They're changing their whole naming convention for all of them. Yeah. John did a bunch of coverage on it from the Snapdragon Summit
conference stuff in Hawaii. I mean, he didn't.
It's another company that cares about the fans.
Yeah. The fans. Yeah, I think that they just call it the Fan Edition phone because like someone in marketing thought that that was a good idea. Because they can't call it the like S21 lesser edition or S21 spare parts edition. Like,
yeah, what's a better name for it? Like the S21 bin or
S21 spare parts bin.
I honestly think it started off as like a fan edition thing. I think this like the first ever fan edition Samsung phone was like people really were interested in it.
What one was it? Was it the S20 though? Because that one wasn't that interesting. Was there one before that?
I kind of know what you're saying. Like it came out in special colors.
Yeah, and it didn't come out, whatever the first fan edition was, I don't think it came out here.
It also included like some of the features that people, man, I wish.
Galaxy Note
FE.
Was the first one?
Yeah,
that it didn't come here though, did it?
It didn't come here, no. But people were, I remember like hearing the buzz and people were interested in it. And that's why they wanted the fan edition to come here. And that's where it came from. And then now look at it. I mean, it's, again, not a bad phone. I used it. It was fine. But it wasn't, I wouldn't tell you to go buy it. I wouldn't tell anyone to go buy it. I mean, if they were like a Samsung diehard and only had $1,000 to spend, then fine. The FE,
buy a Pixel.
Buy a Pixel or buy an A71 or something. Save some money.
Yeah, exactly. At that point, why don't you just drop down into the A series? Yeah. Because it's like, what are they running? Like Snapdragon 860 chips or something that's still probably something really great? Like
the A series are solid phones too. I know a lot of people that have them that are like, they're not into tech. They're not like smartphone
Alex's
enthusiasts.
Parents have them too.
They just want like a good solid Samsung phone. Like I think my brother's gone through two of them now over the last like 7 years or so.
And my mom has a Flip 5G and she's like, well, just give me another A series phone, Dean. And I'm like, I don't just grow them. Like I don't have them.
You grow phones.
Go to the old Samsung backyard and see what I can dig up. Yeah. Tell her I've got an exploded S6 Edge. She wants it.
Let's wrap up the FE talk and move on to the games that we've been playing over the last little bit. Because we definitely haven't talked enough about video games on this podcast yet. So like I can kick it off. Been playing a lot of Halo Infinite, still pretty addicted to that game. Starting to get tired of it because I'm done the battle pass, level 100, done all the events except for the like samurai armor event, can't remember what it was called. I finished Cyber Showdown earlier this week. There's not much for me left to do other than like try to grind ranked, and I'm not good enough to get past Diamond 3. That's what I'm stuck on. So I may take a break from it. I've been considering going back and playing some Apex. But the last couple nights, like on a whim on Sunday, I broke down and I finally bought the Nintendo Switch Online expansion pass where you can play the N64 games because I purchased the N64 controller several months ago thinking I was going to dive super into that because it's like that's my console from when I was a kid, the N64. Like I have so many fond memories of playing those games, but I didn't do it. I didn't pull the trigger back then when it first launched simply because the response was so negative. Like there's issues with lag, like Ocarina of Time had like weird water rendering problems and like the mist that's like so prevalent in that game wasn't present, period. But when Banjo-Kazooie dropped, I was like, hell yeah, let's do this. Pleasantly surprised by the game. It's aged remarkably well. It's emulated super good. Even some of the games that came out when the expansion pack first launched, like for example, Ocarina of Time, they've reduced the lag. Some of the graphical glitches have been improved. Experience isn't perfect, don't get me wrong, at least for that title. But it's better. It's getting there. And like, I think there's going to be more value added to the expansion pass with every month as more games start to get added to the service. But yeah, Banjo-Kazooie, have had a great time playing that game.
Isn't it like $40? Isn't it like really expensive?
It's like, I think it's $60 for the regular pass. It's like roughly the same price for the year, $60 for the year. So the value is not there yet. It's not horrible, but it's not really there yet, at least for me. Because it's like attached to everything, right? Like you get the SNES games, the NES games.
Yeah, you get Nintendo Online too, right? You don't have to pay for that.
And you get Nintendo Online. But I don't think
a $40, $30 thing.
It doesn't compare to PlayStation Plus or Game Pass is the big issue. And like there's the whole, like Nintendo obviously didn't put a lot of effort into the N64 ports that are like the key thing that's part of the expansion pass. You also get a bunch of Sega Genesis games, but I think most people are subscribing for the N64 games. But yeah, I've had fun playing Banjo-Kazooie. It was like one of the first games, not like the first game that was like really mine that I purchased. That was like back in the Game Boy days, but it was like my first N64 game that was mine. Like I went to the flea market with my dad and I purchased it, and I have some fond memories playing that game. And it's like a
businessman making moves.
Anyone who's not familiar with it, it's like Super Mario.
It's like an old school platformer, right?
Yeah,
like,
it's an old school platformer. Old
Spyro type of
focused on collecting and stuff, and like the level design, some of the controls, everything's aged really well for a game that's like 20 plus years old at this point. Had a good time with it.
Can you rewind in those? Sorry,
I don't think so. No, but there are save states. Like if you're trying to do something like particularly difficult and you want to like
you can save
go state. Back, you can go. Yeah, I've like shockingly 100%ed three of the levels, which I was never able to do when I was like 10 playing that game.
You're a little smarter now. Think yeah,
that's what I kept saying.
Trashed.
Yesterday. You what?
I think the whole service what? Is trash.
Wow.
How does it lack Smash Brothers and Pokemon Stadium?
Pokemon Stadium sucks.
Pokemon Stadium would be a fun one to bring to it, though. Because like, that's a really unique game.
He's just going to roll away now.
Yeah. Like, just gone.
I've talked to you about it before. Like, battling isn't the reason why I like Pokemon games,
is
right?
Is
like,
GoldenEye on there?
No, it's not. There's so many licensing issues with that. Like, someone
is there
else
even
owns
a Mario Kart?
Yeah, the Mario Kart 64.
The Mario Kart 64 sucks, but yeah, I was just making sure there was at least some.
It's Mario okay. Kart. It's not great.
It's not Double Dash.
It's hard to go back and play those old ones beyond Double Dash, yeah.
Bring GameCube ports. Why don't we have a game like a GameCube remade yet? You will never see me again.
I'm telling
I'd
you.
Stop working.
Because I don't think they're going to bring those to the expansion pass, like Nintendo style. I think they're going to do remakes, like very, very lazy remakes where they're like in HD or whatever. And
well, they already did it with Sunshine, yeah.
And they did there's a Sunshine HD?
It was Sunshine, Mario 64, and Galaxy all in one pack.
Oh yeah. I know that there's the Toon Link one.
That's Wind not Waker. On Switch.
Wind Waker. Wind Waker's not on Switch. Switch.
Oh, that was
that's
the one
a Riotable.
Wii U.
Nintendo Wii U. Yeah.
It was on the Wii U.
Yeah, it was really great.
Yeah, the Mario Sunshine remake, really good game, aged remarkably well, just like a lot of the other Nintendo games that I've mentioned. But the big problem with it for me was like there's this effect where it looks fine on a CRT,
the heat shimmer,
like 480p, like the heat shimmer, but you play it on like in HD, it made me sick. Like it literally made me motion sick because it makes everything just wave. It's like you're drunk or you're high or something the entire time you're playing. It's not it's not fun.
I like to imagine Patrick being like, I love Mario.
I had to stop playing it at one point. Like I could play it in handheld, but I couldn't play it on my TV. It just made me get motion sick. But yeah, Bennett, I know you're no longer a gamer. You've been removed from the gamer club, but have you been playing anything?
Not really. I was hanging with my buddies the other day. My Super Nintendo Mini is at his house.
Played
some Kirby Dream Course. You know, I stomped some of those guys. Always good to flex my Kirby Dream Course muscles.
We played that in the office for a while.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, I don't know if you remember, but it's like that game where I just like, nobody plays it because it's like this old Nintendo game, and I love it so much, but I can't like play with people because I'm just like, it's really hard to learn, and I'm too good at it. I'm not trying to like brag. It's like not a skill to be good at it all, but like, yeah,
it's a good game.
I can squish it. I can drop from like half court, no problem.
It's like golf,
golf and pool and Kirby and lawn bowling and lawn. Like, it's,
where was I when this was being played? I was probably like,
I don't know. Maybe you left early that day, or not left early, but didn't stay later. Had something going on.
We only played it a couple times. It was like when we used to play Halo sometimes after.
Remember that?
When we first moved into that medium sized room that had the very tiny TV on the wall, and we were like,
"Yeah,
the one above me in here. Let's get the consoles. We got everything hooked up." It was like a 19-inch flat screen. It was like as sad as that episode of The Office, but we were so hyped, and it was hilarious because we were so
720p too.
And we were hyped about it, and literally directly below the TV is your like 32-inch 1440p monitor, and we're just like, "This TV is going to change everything."
I used to play Tony Hawk on it because I had that like emulation
box that
I built.
Yeah.
I was playing Halo on it one time. Actually, I think I was just playing Halo on your monitor on like Xbox One or 360 or whatever we had. And some like random dude walked in and was just like, "Is this Apex?" And I was just like, This is Halo. Like, what do you mean?
This is
Halo 3. Have you not seen this? This is like 10 years old.
Dean. What have you been playing?
Just Pokemon. I mean, I take breaks from Pokemon to play some Apex, but that's pretty much it.
What's the status of Apex right now? Like, I have not paid attention to it since November
or something.
I think season 11 starts next week.
Oh, so a new season starting. Okay, because I'm thinking about jumping back into it. Like, there's a new mode coming too, isn't there?
Yeah, a 99. It's 99. Yeah, Maggie's coming. You know Maggie? You remember Maggie?
Personally?
No. Shut up, Brett.
is that the Scottish character?
She's like, so she wasn't in the game. You never saw her yet, but like, there was a game mode and she was the announcer. And she'd be like, "Hold on to your knickers." And everyone would be like, is that what you said? But yeah, she's actually going to be like a playable character. Everyone thought she died, and storyline, everyone thought she died, but she's apparently alive somehow.
Because I'm gonna start playing again, unless like, and nothing's gonna be coming big to Halo that I'm aware of. I think I'm gonna get back into Apex.
Yeah, get into Apex for like a week or two, then play Elden Ring.
I'm never gonna play Elden Ring. That is like then the play least Horizon game of all time. I might buy Horizon. I did really like the first one.
There's a lot of games coming out in February. Oh. So
yeah,
there's like Sifu's coming out too. If you're into that, it's like the one where it's like he's like this karate or martial artist, and he has to fight through a whole gang, like a few gangs, but ever, and then he dies, and every time he dies, he comes back to life a little older. But he
what is this for?
PlayStation, I assume, or all of them.
I've not heard of it.
Yeah, it looks really cool. That comes out next month. There's like a whole like list of games. Like, I mean, this month was kind of boring. All we had was Pokemon and. But like,
and it was like next 4 days from the end of the month.
It comes out the 28th, right? So then, but next month has like Dying Light 2, Life is Strange.
That actually looks exciting. Multiplayer component that it's like all co-op and stuff. I think that could be really fun. I feel like people can really sink their teeth into that one. It looks exciting.
First Dying Light was really fun.
I think that Uncharted thing that Brad reviewed comes out next month too. Like, there's a whole
God
of
War just hit PC.
Next month, Brad. We're talking about next month stuff.
Sorry.
This month's old news.
Yeah, this month is old news.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's a good place to wrap it up. Thanks for listening to the Syrupcast. You can find me on Twitter at Patrick_Rourke, and of course on mobilesyrup.com. Bennett, where can people find you?
You can find me just about everywhere at the BradFad and on mobilesyrup.com. Got some reviews up. Did a DJI Action 2 that's pretty fun.
Videos.
And lots of videos on mobilesyrup's YouTube. Lots of shorts and regular YouTube videos as well.
And Dean, where can people find you?
You can find me at The Daily Dean on Instagram and Twitter. I just reviewed the Pokemon game. I have the S21 FE review if you guys are interested in reading that coming up. Either by the end of this week or next week. And the monitor review. I have this monitor here. It's pretty big.
That looks nice. Like,
that looks very fun.
Like, it's all curved and stuff. Can you see it's curved on this?
Yeah,
it's,
oh,
It's like cool and pretty. And
you'll never sell me on curved monitors ever.
You're a fool.
I might be, because like that one monitor from CES, I talk about that all the time. I want that so bad. And it's curved.
Yeah, curved monitors are worth that. But anyways, I have that review coming up before the end of the week, I think, too. I mean, it's pretty much done. So yeah, I got some stuff too. Not only Brent, not only Bennett. I work at Mumbleserp as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. And as always, you can find all of our content at mumbleserp.com and also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at mumbleserp. Thanks for listening.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.